bitch and sing along. Yeah. Rapping so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Bringing you another episode of The Brothers. It's kind of on the late side, so we're just going to jump right into it for our listeners, Big Root. Today's title is Supreme Guilt. And we're talking about a very troubling case that just hit the news pretty recently, or you came across it in a particular source, Big Root. You want to share for our listeners what we're talking about tonight?
Yeah, basically, I came across a case where the attorney had a client that was convicted of some type of vehicular disturbance. I don't know if he hit somebody or he was just driving erratically, the officers claim. And basically, the person was convicted and got 25 years in jail because the officer said that the person was swerving and driving erratically and was basically a menace on the road. However, I guess as part of the discovery, his defense lawyer was given evidence, which included a dash cam video, which he never looked at. Somehow he put it in his drawer, never looked at it. It was there presented in the original case. What then happened is once this guy was convicted, he did appeal, and he went to the next level. And I think the second lawyer then realized that this evidence was never admitted, but somehow he didn't admit it either. So he basically went to all of the state courts, and this evidence was never admitted. He then got a new lawyer, which is the video I was watching, who's like the appellate lawyer. They found the evidence, they saw it, and they actually were able to go to federal court and present this evidence to them. They were able to then deem that this guy was not guilty of the charge, and they got him released. And everybody thinking this is a happy ending. You know, they got the evidence and they got it right. The case went up to the Supreme Court because the state now, they appeal. The Supreme Court says that the state, the federal government had no jurisdiction to actually hear new evidence because it was never presented during the lower court's process, the trials. So they basically put him back in jail, saying that even if you know he's innocent, this evidence can't be admitted, which is a total miscarriage of justice.
No, definitely, definitely. So, again, I mean, because you kind of put a lot out there for the listeners. So what exactly did they say he do? Because I did watch the video as well. And I don't think there was any type of vehicular manslaughter or any tangible crime, because I think that wouldn't have, you know, That obviously wouldn't have been overruled or anything like that. My understanding is that he was speeding, or they said he was speeding, like he said, driving erratically. And then his dash cam video showed that wasn't the case.
I think it was actually the officer's dash cam video.
Was it?
That
it
was given. Yeah, which was given to his original attorney, but somehow he never admitted it, never put it in front of the court. He actually had it in his drawer. And only when he was giving all the information over to the new attorney, he found this quote-unquote dash cam video.
Right. No, okay, I get you. So what I'm saying is, so basically, first of all, there was no initial crime as far as the officer following him. In other words, or at least in the video that we saw, there was nothing that she said, he did this, but basically, according to the attorney in the video, the dash cam exonerated him of everything that he allegedly would have done.
That is correct.
Okay. So I'm only saying that one because it's not like, I guess there was a caveat. Well, even though the camera would have showed this, you know, but this other thing happened. Basically, whatever happened was just the cop's word of mouth and the camera of the cop's car. Okay. When it's your dash cam, I didn't know if it was the driver's or the cop's, but the cop's dash cam showed that the driver didn't do anything wrong.
Yep, everything, he was driving legally. He didn't do anything erratic.
Right. So, again, for our listeners, tonight's episode of Supreme Guilt And the reason why I said supreme guilt is because in addition to this particular case, there was a similar case that the lawyer mentioned that said it's not the same case, but a similar type of case that did reach the Supreme Court and that did have a decision that's now impacting on all of us. Because she was going to appeal to the Supreme Court, right? She was going to try to take it there. And then this other case kind of beat her to it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the case was already in the rotation and they chose to hear it and made the ruling on it. And basically, now the rule of law in the land is that evidence can't be submitted directly to the federal appeals court if it's not first brought into the state court.
Right, which is definitely really interesting. Honestly, it's disheartening for us as potential defendants because, like you said, once precedent is set at the Supreme Court level, that becomes federal law. That's now the law of the land, like you just said. And it's just interesting because I think normally you don't go directly to the federal court. There is a process where you usually go up through different state courts. And then I read about it someplace. There are different levels where you can kind of jump out to the federal court. So there's like two different ways that it can go to federal, whatever. But like you said, I guess there was never precedent that it had to be evidence presented in Supreme Court case. I mean, in the state court case that, you know, could only be there first before it can go to federal. So like you said, long story short for our listeners, now evidence has to go to the state courts before or not before. It has to go through the state courts or it can't be admissible in federal court.
Yeah, it has to be presented. So you can't have a new theory or a new any new evidence going directly to the federal court. It has to be presented in the lower court. But the troubling part about that is if you have an ineffective counsel and your lawyer is just not good and they don't do it, you have no recourse. Because I guess you can sue them, but it's not going to get you out of jail.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists are on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Exactly. And I think to your point, that is the point. That's why you can appeal, right? Well, there's different levels of appeal. But one is usually if new information is found, right? Usually when you appeal, part of the process is, okay, is there something we weren't aware of, right? In addition to, we can look at procedurally what happened. So a lot of times what it was always up to the purview of the judge what they were going to allow in or not. Some judges would say that, well, since it wasn't presented in that case, I'm not going to hear it or whatever. The difference with the Supreme Court is when they make that determination, that then applies to all law. And that's really the difference. It's not just that this particular judge said, well, I don't want to hear it or I want to hear it. Basically, the Supreme Court said you can't hear it anymore.
That is correct. And, you know, again, that's troubling when the evidence can be overwhelmingly clear that you are actually innocent and now you have no recourse because you had ineffective counsel in the beginning.
Exactly. And I think the whole premise is that, you know, in the American judicial system, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, right? We know there's so many examples of that not being the case, but that's still supposed to be the goal, the high esteem of American jurisprudence, right? You're innocent until proven guilty, and we'll do everything. We'd rather have 1,000 guilty men go free than one innocent man sit in jail, right? That's the premise. That's not the reality.
No, it's not. It makes you wonder, you know, if other cases that we saw where the verdicts have been overturned would be overturned or would be allowed to be overturned. Again, the case that comes to mind is the Central Park Five. Now, I don't think it actually ever reached federal court. I think it was settled in the lower courts, you know, the state courts, which would be fine. But if that's something that was actually overturned because it went to the federal court, you know, maybe a case like that would not be overturned because obviously that information was never presented in the first, you know, the initial trial.
Exactly. Which we talked about. That's why I said part of the appellate process is there new information, right? So again, that was always something that was kind of on the table. One, we can review what the previous trial information is and see what the procedures followed right. Did the judge do it right? Did the jury do it right? Did the prosecution do it right? Did your attorney do it right? All that was always kind of on the table in the appellate process. And then in addition to that, I believe that there was a window where new evidence could also be presented because, again, you know, the premise is supposed to be innocent proven guilty. So this is something that we weren't aware of that we can maybe look at differently. Now, I don't think that was always applied. So I do think there were individual examples of judges not letting evidence, new evidence come in as opposed to what's there. Again, the difference to the video that you highlighted is that that's now, because the Supreme Court had that case and set that precedent, that's now federal law for everybody. So in other words, now it can't happen. And that's the difference. It's not that this judge is hard, this judge isn't. Now it's just, that's the law. It has to go through the, you know, it has to be presented at the state court level. So you're right, that's very disheartening.
Yeah, it's very scary that you could actually know that you're innocent and, well, our hands are tied. We can't do nothing because this law is now in place.
I agree, but I don't know if I would even say scary for me because I think that reality was always there. Because we know there's innocent people sitting in prison. We know that. I think for it to be blatantly demonstrated, in other words, we know, right? We know that innocent people are going to be hurt by this. We don't care, right? In other words, we're going to keep in prison on a technicality. And to openly make that a policy, you know, for the highest court in the land to literally say that innocence isn't that important, that is scary and that is beyond scary. That's actually a statement of values, right? Like I said, the premise is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And again, if we're not sure, you should go and, you know, preponderance of evidence, that's, you know, for civil case. But what I'm saying is there's supposed to be this notion that there's no other way for us to conclude that you're not guilty, right? And now we're saying, oh, no, there's other ways. We just don't care. We're just not going to allow it. But you know, you can see, like, the evidence is there.
But I agree 100% what you're saying, because to me, if you see a clearly there's a case of miscarriage of justice, you would want to fix it, not to go and hide behind a letter of the law. Oh, we can't hear this case. We can't hear this new evidence, even though another person is totally innocent.
Exactly.
We have a clear conscience to go sleep at bed at night peacefully when you know that you have somebody that's, you know, wrongfully in prison.
Exactly. And the point is, this is the Supreme Court of the land. So this is supposed to be the highest level of jurisprudence. These judges are supposed to be beyond reproach. They're not even judges anymore. Now they're justices, right? Because they represent justice. And they're supposed to be just the elements of law and order and principle and rule of law and aiming for the highest aesthetic of, you know, fairness. And they literally just put down a ruling saying that, hey, rules matter, technicality is what it is. Innocence is just part of a process. And the process isn't done right, the innocence is gone. And for the Supreme Court to say that, I mean, the notion that justice is blind, it almost comes out now that justice is dead.
I agree. And I'm sure justices Felix Frankfurter and Oliver Wendell Holmes are all turning over in their graves with this. I can't see how they would think this is a just and fair rule.
Agreed. Let me ask you another question now, and for our listeners. For the last couple of years, certainly, we've seen the erosion of our electoral process. And it now seems that we're seeing the slight, if not significant, erosions of our legal process. What do you think of these two things kind of happening in the same time frame? Like, in other words, the rule of electoral law seems to be diminished by certain people. And now the rule of criminal law seems like the same thing is happening.
I think it goes hand in hand. And the people who are appointing these judges are the same people who are eroding the political system. So it goes hand in hand.
I know. I get it. I mean, I understand. I think, again, what's disheartening for me is the fact that you look at certain professions as callings, and you look at doctors as being there to heal whoever is not well. and you look to judges to be there to be the arbiters of justice, right? This is what we're here for. And within reason, rules matter, but ultimately we're trying to get to the truth and we're trying to get the justice. And it really seems that these people are failing on that calling, if it ever was a calling, right? If it's just a job, it's a job. But I don't think anybody's ever held a judge in low regard in the sense, and I'm talking about the profession, not the individual, in the sense that it's supposed to be a calling. You know, we you go in courtroom, everybody all rise, we all stand up. We give them so much honor and deference because we believe that their calling is so significant. And they're almost showing us that it's not worth it, right? You trust us? So I get what you say, it's scary, but I think the scary thing for me always would have been that an innocent person can go to jail if the evidence just doesn't look right, right? And you just wind up in the wrong situation and it doesn't look right. Now it doesn't matter. Now we know you're innocent, but because this envelope wasn't submitted, you're gonna be in jail for 30 years.
Tired of the same rap songs, every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
And that, to your point, is terrifying. That you know I'm innocent, you know the evidence is right on that table, and you won't look. Nope.
Yeah, that's what's scary, is the fact that it was ineffective counsel. It wasn't that it's evidence that was brought to, you know, someone had a video tape that they didn't, you know, submit. This actually was given to his attorney before the first trial, and he didn't present it. So again, this is horrible. This is totally, that's malpractice. And you're going to say that because the person was incompetent, I should spend my 25 years in jail? That's crazy.
Well, I agree with that. Again, that's the point of today's topic, supreme guilt. Let me ask you a question, though. How do you feel about statute of limitations in the sense that how do you feel, one, I guess, guilty people not being charged because the statute passed? Or two, even if someone was innocent and something could be done about it, but it's 2 days too late, how would you feel in those scenarios?
Well, statute of limitations, I mean, number one, I think a lot of laws and limits should be re-looked upon because a lot of things were based on older technologies and maybe things now with DNA and the aggressive testing that they can do. Maybe you shouldn't have statute of limitations on certain crimes. Maybe you should be able to go back and look at something 30 years later if new technology is available that would give you the right answer. I'll give you the complete answer. So I think that's something that we should also look at and revisit. But to your other point, if somebody was, they had the evidence there, but it was just too late to present it, I think that the courts are supposed to really be on the side of right and wrong. And like you said, when there's a question, or if you know that the right answer is there, we should try to help the individual. But it seems that that's no longer the point. They're no longer trying to help the individual. They just want to follow the letter of the law in their mind.
Agreed. And I think you just nailed it the last sentence, that they're focusing on the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. And I think, you know, that really sums it up. And again, for our listeners, that's why today's episode is supreme guilt, because We're human beings. We're not perfect. We can only use the tools that we have. So we get it. We're not going to get everything just right. But like you just said, if you're going to put the letter of the law over the spirit of the law, so I know that that envelope on that table shows you're innocent. I know this. And there's nothing tangibly stopping me from doing this. I just think that it should have been open 2 weeks ago. And since it was open 2 weeks ago, oh well. And again, if we're talking about justice, the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, and we're saying that we're putting technicalities over the truth and innocence, that should terrify every American. And more importantly, that should show us that we're living a lie, that we're not seeking out justice in the Supreme Court, that we're not aiming for higher ideas. We're not, right? It's just the business at hand. And If you don't have the right lawyer, the right resources, and technicalities get in the way, oh well.
Well said. And, you know, to piggyback on what you just said, you know, they, when I say they, I'm talking about politicians, you know, made sure, I shouldn't say they made sure, but like the news agencies, nobody's reporting this. No one's even letting people know that, you know, this is going on. I happened to catch this by accident. I would be looking through social media and I came across this article. Or I wouldn't have known this was something that just happened.
Well, that's a good point. And I mean, that's a conversation in itself because, you know, we both were talking about the attorney and the fact that maybe she doesn't want to overly identify herself. Maybe she doesn't want to make herself a target. Is that why the media is not involved? Like, for example, if she doesn't go to the media, let's say, right? Maybe they're not aware of it. Or maybe they'd have to sift through social media the way you did to find it. But again, maybe she also doesn't want to be found in that sense. Maybe she doesn't want to be on TV. I think, you know, kudos to her just for putting the information out there in whatever way she could. And it just speaks really poorly because this is a hypothetical for our listeners, we don't know. But let's say she is scared, right? Let's say she doesn't want a backlash. Again, that speaks very large volumes of our criminal justice system, right? I'm scared that the Supreme Court or any appellate court justice or whatever, just the court as a whole might, you know, give me retribution for speaking the truth to power, right? So in other words, again, it's not about truth or justice. Now it's about fear. Now it's about intimidation. Now it's about payback, right? And again, this is a hypothetical, so we don't know if this is her thinking, but let's say it is her thinking. I don't want everybody to know who I am or what I'm saying because I don't want them to come after me. We're talking about the American judicial system. We're not talking about where attorneys are supposed to be scared to speak their mind. So again, the notion that, you know, justice is blind, we have to really question, does justice have eyes anymore, right? Is justice real anymore?
No, I agree. I mean, her case, it wasn't even the one, from my understanding, is the one that was actually ruled upon by the Supreme Court. So I'm just saying that, and again, a lot of decisions go on with the Supreme Court that we don't really hear about. You know, we hear about if they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade because that's like a monumental case, but this happens every day. And you're right, a lot of cases are decided that we don't even know anything about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm thinking, if this person, this attorney who did post on social media, I feel if she reached out to a number of news outlets, somebody would have found it of interest just through the normal journalistic process. Could be wrong. It could be that her story or this story is being blacklisted and they're just not touching it. So again, that either way you could say it's bad. I mean, you're right. We've done episodes about the media and how they didn't focus on some stories and they overly focus on others. But you could also say that maybe she doesn't want to overly reach out. Let me just put this out on my little social media channel, but I'm not really trying to go on CNN and Fox News and whatever and really get the story out there because I don't want the attention on it, right? Obviously, she wants some attention on it because she posted it. I guess my point is, how much attention does she want on it? Was she just kind of lashing out because she can't believe this miscarriage just happened? Or is she really trying to say, we got to make changes, right? Or one more thing, or is she just saying, you know what? Supreme Court just did it, so what changes is there to be made, right? It's done. There's nothing I can do, right? They know what was in front of them, and this is the decision they came up with.
Could be all of the above, what you were just saying. Maybe she wanted to be out, but she doesn't want to be the spokesperson for this particular law. She just wants the information to be out there. If someone happens to see it and they run with it, then more power to them. But in maybe her mind, I did, you know, just make people aware that, you know, this is what happened and this is the new law of the land. And if anybody wants to take this and carry it, then this, you know, it's on them.
Agreed. And rightfully so. I mean, each of us has to accept certain burdens or not. And maybe, you know, like you said, who says she's going to be a crusader or supposed to be a crusader and you know, make this her you know, her mission, right? But going back to the episode and the theme for tonight's episode, Supreme Guilt. Lots of us grew up with, you know, understanding the country we live in, the three branches of government. You feel that, you know, justice is supposed to be where you have your day in court and you get to express yourself. You feel that the president is supposed to be the leader of the country and put our interests above their own. And you feel that Congress is supposed to be representatives who speak our interests. And it really seems to feel that none of those things are happening anymore. It seems that Congress can't communicate or get anything done. The president, the last president we just had, literally tried to keep himself in power forever. And now the court is saying, even if we know you're innocent, you know, if the evidence doesn't come to us the way we like, we don't care that you're innocent. So how can you take all these things and have a certain level of pride or belief in where you live?
You can. I mean, because basically what they're saying now is you could be convicted of a crime, you know, a person. Well, we say you committed murder, X, Y, and Z. Someone could come in and say that they did it and have proof that they did it, but if it wasn't, you know, presented in the way that they want to present it, we don't care. We're going to leave this original person in jail, even though he did nothing to do with this, which totally does not make any sense in the United States of America.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
Exactly. Again, so for our listeners, tonight's episode, Supreme Guilt. Yeah, this is one where the Supreme Court is guilty. And not individual members, because again, we don't know the details of it, but the majority. Whoever cast the decision is a majority, thinking that this is the best representative of American jurisprudence. Clearly got it wrong, right? Clearly. And again, we can say that we don't know all the details of this case, but I think the principle we're trying to express is that the spirit of the law is supposed to mean more than the letter of the law.
You know, I think when we talked earlier, you know, you made the point, which is true. They decide what cases they're going to actually hear. So they could have just chose not to hear this case at all, which means that it still be open to interpretation by the lower courts. But once they decided to listen to, you know, to hear this case and make a ruling on it, they made a new law.
Exactly. And you're right. I mean, it wasn't an accident that they took this case. It wasn't an accident that it was in rotation. It wasn't an accident that they made this ruling, because most of what they do is not by accident, right? So like you said, this was intentional. And to your point of being, you know, fearful, and to my point of being disheartened, how can you not be fearful and disheartened when, you know, members of the highest court of the land look for a case to limit freedoms, not expand them, not maintain them, to limit them, to limit your representation in court, to limit evidentiary findings, right? All this sounds so wrong. Like you said, we get the letter of the law. You should have turned this in yesterday. Yeah, but it's here right now. We're talking about years of my life, my freedom, my livelihood, whatever. You should have turned it in yesterday, right? Even though you have it in your hand. And some people may say, oh, well, you know, don't be late or get better lawyers or whatever. And I think we've seen people take that approach in every regard, right? It's poor people's fault for not having the money they need. It's illiterate people's fault because they can't read. So the premise here is that this country is supposed to be for all of us. And again, you know, the notion is that, you know, the rights of the individual matter. And it seems like those rights are being stripped away.
Yeah, they're rolling beneath our feet.
Exactly. So to your point, yeah, it is very scary, right? Let's just be honest, because it's not scary until it's you or someone you know. And we can't think like that. We can't just sit back and not worry about things until it's us, because that's why it happens. So for our listeners, we always go to a call to action phase, big group. So tonight's episode, Supreme Guilt, about the Supreme Court seeming not to be focused on justice anymore. what call to action, if any, would you put out to our listeners?
Well, if you're involved in any type of litigation or any type of situation involving the police, try to get the most information that you can. Try to document everything that's to your best of your ability. Obviously, we all don't have money for top flight lawyers. And a lot of times, if you have a public defender, they're overwhelmed with too many cases. So it's going to be up to you to make sure that you keep notes and know certain things that you can give to another attorney or help your attorney if you have to, you know, because maybe they might miss something that you can, if you're really on Johnny on the spot, you can hold them accountable and make sure it's presented for yourself.
Oh man, that's a really good one, Big Rope. That's really on point. And I think hopefully our listeners and whoever comes across this episode will really take that to heart, because you're right. Anybody who is knowledgeable and aware, you know, if you hear something, say something, because this should not stand. One thing with Supreme Court, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to overturn something without the court changing. That's why the Roe v. Wade case is such a big thing right now, because it was thought to be untouchable, because it was, until you had five judges who said, we don't care, right? That's what it really comes down to. And anyway, so that was a really great call to action. And I think I'll just follow it up with, as listeners, let's just try to spread the word more. Because like you said, if you didn't share this with me, and if someone didn't share it, you know, through her post and you didn't come across it, we wouldn't even be conversing it. So talking about it. So who knows how many other things are happening that we're just not aware of. So awareness is maybe the first form of fighting back. So for our listeners, if you can find out anything about this case or any type of case like this, just start to spread the word, start to have conversations, because we need to know the Supreme Court is not going to actually be the Supreme Court. Like, we need to know that. I don't know what that leads to or what it means, but we just need to be aware of it. Because like you said, we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, not guilty even when proven innocent.
Well said.
Yeah, thanks, bro. So till our next episode, we'll have to leave it there. But today's episode, Supreme Guilt, Shame on the Supreme Court. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.